Hey, before we start the show, the guys aren't even in here yet. Stephen and Glenn have not arrived. I need to talk to you about what we're doing right now, which is asking for your support for your local station to help support our show. And you may know there's me, there's Glenn, there's Stephen, there are producers, but you know, we talk about the fourth chair. You know who the fifth chair is? You know who the fifth chair is? The fifth chair is you. And when you give your support to your station, you see, then they can help NPR and NPR takes care of us. And then you get to continue to listen to the show. And so even though you might listen to us on your phone or in your car and not on your regular radio, that is how you support us and help us. That's what pays for our production. That's what pays for all of the costs of making the show. And it makes it possible for us to bring you all of the episodes and all of the TV conversations and movie conversations that we brought to you this year and that we hope to bring to you next year. So to you, our fifth chair, our great thanks. Go to donate.npr.org/happy and support your local station. It's time to say goodbye to a story that began in 1977 with a movie then known as Star Wars. 9 films later, this branch of the saga concludes with Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker.
In this chapter, director J.J. Abrams attempts the almost impossible by trying to bring all this in for a landing. Scavenger Rey, her friends Finn and Poe, and the mysterious Kylo Ren are all back for one last lap, and so are brief glimpses of many faces from movies past. I'm Glenn Weldon.
And I'm Linda Holmes. We're talking about Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker on this episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Here with me and Glenn in the studio is our buddy Stephen Thompson of NPR Music. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Linda.
And in our fourth chair is our friend Mallory Yu, the movies editor for All Things Considered. Hi, Mallory.
Hey, Linda.
Always good to have you here with us. So the first thing that we want to say is we're trying to be careful about spoilers, obviously, but if you want to go in totally cold, as always, you will want to see the movie and then listen to the episode. Glenn, you reviewed this for NPR.org. You can find that review online. So I sort of know what you thought, but tell me what you thought.
Well, the word I built my review around was effortful, because in a way, this film couldn't help but be effortful. J.J. Abrams decided he needed to load this thing up with elements from every film in the nonology, is that what we're calling it? He didn't need to. The story didn't need it, but he did that. So the whole thing feels overstuffed. It doesn't feel bloated to me because it does zip along. And crucially, it doesn't feel like we are barreling towards some kind of grand culmination that feels inevitable. It feels like we have accumulated a lot of plot and characters. And what's driving us forward is just sheer momentum. It's just that the weight of all that is keeping this film moving. Even when the film is at its most relaxed, in some of the best moments when it's just those three heroes sort of bantering with each other. But it still feels like a giant hedged bet, because I liked Last Jedi for the risks it took. The fact that it felt literally progressive, in that it progressed beyond the rigid strictures of the original trilogy. And there are things that Rian Johnson did in Last Jedi that he subverted that get reverted by Abrams here. Characters and conflicts that Johnson introduced get sidelined very clumsily. There are some nice set pieces, as I mentioned, but it does conclude a story that's been part of my life since I was 9, so obviously I was in. But again, it doesn't conclude it so much as just sort of end it.
Yeah. And we should say, if you're not familiar with you've forgotten sort of the saga of how this all went, when they brought the series back in 2015 with The Force Awakens, that was a J.J. Abrams film. Then he stepped away because he was also doing Star Trek, right? Mm-hmm. And so he stepped away. Rian Johnson, who made Looper and recently Knives Out and a bunch of other very good movies, stepped in and made The Last Jedi, which was the middle of this final trilogy. I loved The Last Jedi. A lot of people complained bitterly about The Last Jedi for a combination of, I think, legitimate and less legitimate reasons. So this is Abrams returning to the trilogy to do the final chapter, and there's definitely a feeling of some tension, which was hinted at in the press and then seems very evident in the film, about like, no, you messed up everything I was trying to do in the first one, so I'm going to throw out your movie and in some cases kind of stick a finger in your eye, it felt to me. Mallory, what did you think?
I had fun. I think there are a lot of things about Star Wars in this movie that I loved. You know, you want droids? There are droids. There's a fun droid friend. You want more weird force magic? There's plenty of that. But like Glenn said, I just felt like it was so overstuffed. The pacing felt really jarring. There were a few moments where I felt like if the action had just breathed for a little bit longer, for a beat or two, that the emotional impact would have been so much more. You know, there was a lot I loved. The trio in this, like everyone is saying, has such good chemistry. But like you, Linda, I loved The Last Jedi. I'm a little sad to see that direction kind of course correct, because I was really interested in where The Last Jedi was setting this property to go. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little sad that it didn't go there.
Yeah. I would mention, in terms of that, one of my biggest disappointments was what I think is a really shabby treatment of the actress Kelly Marie Tran, who played Rose in The Last Jedi, who I thought was a very appealing character. I thought she was excellent in it. I thought she was a lot of fun and very appealing. She took a ton of online abuse and harassment. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, very suffused with, I think, racist and sexist undertones in some cases. Some people obviously just don't like a character, but that always happens in Star Wars. She's reduced in this to basically, you know, one of many. She's almost an extra. She's sort of a like an under five.
Right.
Which was really jarring to me, because she's a central part of the ensemble in the previous movie. And to see her just kind of sitting at a terminal saying, you know, the phasers are on stunt. I'm just kidding. To see her just kind of rattling off the jargon sitting at a terminal was extremely disappointing to me.
Same. I really loved Rose. She meant a lot to me as a character. You know, as an Asian woman, it was really gratifying to see someone who looked like me and looked like my friends and my family in an important role in a Star Wars movie. Someone who wasn't, you know, full of the Force, who was a mechanic, who was sort of a smaller character and who could still have a big impact on the story and on the main characters, meant a lot to me to see someone like myself doing that. And I don't think I'm ever really going to forgive J.J. Abrams for sidelining her in the way that he did. It was unnecessary, and it felt like her reason for not joining in on the action was out of character.
Well, yeah, I mean, the actual reason she's not part of it is, I think, that the people who made this movie don't care about her and don't think she's interesting and didn't want to write for her. So right. That's why she's not. I mean, that appears, unless there's something that we don't know, that appears to be what happened. Stephen, what did you think?
I'm really with you guys in general in this movie. I think there are elements of this that are very enjoyable. There is an enormous amount of just noise and energy being exerted. And when you exert that much effort and energy and are making that much noise, you're going to have scenes that resonate, and you're going to have scenes that become kind of relentless and thudding and kind of add up to something where you feel exhausted but not entertained. I did kind of sympathize with the just sheer size of the task at hand. Mm-hmm. You know, J.J. Abrams is not only trying to wrap up a complex trilogy, he's wrapping up a trilogy of trilogies. He has 42 years worth of nerd hopes and dreams on his shoulders, and he has so many mouths to feed creatively. A thought I had several times during this movie is no one's in the same room. Mm. And Glenn, in your review, you mentioned the game Exquisite Corpse, you know, where this kind of game of telephone where one person is adding to the thoughts of another person and kind of subverting the other thoughts and then passing them back to the first person to try to add to the suddenly subverted thoughts. I think that's not only happening with the pass off from Abrams to Johnson to back to Abrams, but it feels like it's happening with some of the actors in this movie. You mentioned Carrie Fisher, and you know, Carrie Fisher died at the end of 2016, and that character, Princess Leia, is still carrying a lot of the emotional weight in this story, but all they have to work with is this kind of B-roll footage of Carrie Fisher spouting kind of bland, generic instructions, this kind of like, don't forget who you are, you know, or whatever, just kind of just saying really bland instructions, which they then have to write the script around to have those lines be emotionally resonant, but they can't be emotionally resonant because they're not specific to anything.
They're necessarily vague
right.
because they were made for one thing and are being used for something else. So they necessarily are things that don't have a specific story direction.
Right. And so not only do I, as an audience member, know watching this, this has been cobbled together after her death. They are using the footage they have available to them. I can't entirely get that out of my head watching those scenes. But a lot of the movie felt like that to me, where they're just, they have so many characters to fit into this story, but it doesn't necessarily, to me, cohere into a really emotionally rich story.
I think you really feel the impact of the fact that this thing got passed off. If mm-hmm. George Lucas had, as he had originally planned, done all 9 films, I mean, yes, I mean, that way midichlorians and Jar Jar lies. Bad things happen. But also there's an arc. This trilogy mm-hmm. did not have an arc. It had a series of game attempts. And I do appreciate the fact that Abrams did try to keep some of what Johnson introduced in Last Jedi when it comes to taking this moral universe, which has all the nuance of a black and white cookie, mm-hmm. and injecting some kind of shades of gray into it so that somebody's costume color doesn't dictate all their choices.
Right.
That's good. There were times when I didn't know what choices these characters were going to make. That is surprising to me in a mm-hmm. Star Wars film. Mm-hmm. That was refreshing. But when you are asserting everything equally, as he's doing in this film, it's hard for us to find the focus, the through line, the thing we should care about.
I had a conversation also with our producer, Jessica Reedy, about the fact that Abrams introduces both a kind of little scene, mostly helmeted character played by Carrie Russell, who, of course, is an old J.J. Abrams ally going back to Felicity, and also a woman played by Naomi Ackie. Her name is Janna, and she becomes a friend of Finn's. And both of those characters, to me, first of all, are doing some of what Rose could have done, mm-hmm. Which made it hard for me to understand why they had to be added and her sidelined. But also, they just didn't seem to do very much. And when I spoke to Jessica, she said, well, I wonder if this is them setting up their future spinoffs and Disney Plus shows sure. and things like that. And I thought, oh, I bet that's true. I think Abrams has in the past really tried to make good, artful stuff out of IP. Like, you can do that, intellectual property. You can do that, right? But I feel like here you feel the seams a lot more. Yeah. And if that mm-hmm. turns out to be the case, and maybe that's not the case, but if that turns out to be the case, it will have essentially interfered with this film for me. Because I don't have a problem with Abrams kind of taking it in his own direction, right? Just as I didn't have a problem with Johnson taking it in his own direction after Force Awakens. The question is, did you make a good movie? And I think in the effort to kind of reverse course on some of the things, particularly some of the things that there was a lot of very ugly complaining about, I think in that effort to reverse course, Abrams has harmed his film. For example, one of the things I really noticed was that, you know, there were people who thought that Last Jedi had too many jokes. And this, to me, is leaden. And uh-huh. other than, it's sort of like, and there are exceptions to
There's
this.
There's moments, but yeah.
There are exceptions to this, you know, Poe a little bit. But for the most part, the droids are allowed to be funny. Everybody else is just deadly, grimly serious all the time. There's a very late in the film Adam Driver moment that's really funny and unexpected that I laughed at. And I'm not suggesting it should be a comedy, but it feels like the turn was so hard. And if you go back to the original, you know, New Hope Star Wars movie, it has some banter, it has some
lightness.
Joshing.
Still
and there's
fun.
There's a little bit of that. I'm not gonna say there's none, but I feel like the turn was so hard back toward, and Glenn always says it's one-third mysticism, one-third narrow escapes, and one-third epic space battles. I actually feel like this one went to half epic space battles and half mysticism.
Right.
And most of the narrow escapes got lost. I also think the biggest epic space battle is just not well shot and edited. It has one goosebumpy moment that gave me goosebumps. But other than that, it's really just confusing to
yeah.
me, and I think visually unsatisfying and hard to follow. So I was really bummed out about this movie because I really liked both Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, and I really expected to like this, and I was very surprised not to. Anyway, Mallory, do you have anything else you want to add before we go?
To your point, Linda, we're you were saying that you and Jessica were talking about spinoffs and, you know, characters introduced here going on to have other adventures. And, you know, that's fine. But I don't want to see the effort it takes to put that character into your movie. And I felt that. I really liked Jana. I liked Naomi Ackie. You know,
yeah,
when
me too.
I saw her photo for the first time, I was like, I'm here for you. I pledge fealty to you. Mm-hmm. I want to know your story. And we get a little bit of that. But there is so much stuffed into this movie, you can't spend time with the characters that you want to spend time with.
Right. I felt that way, too, because I liked her, too. I liked her, too. And who doesn't like Carrie Russell? I like Carrie Russell.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we are ready to hear what you think about Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet us at PCHH. When we come back, it's going to be time to talk about what's making us happy this week, so come right back.
Support for Pop Culture Happy Hour and the following message come from Green from Amex. Always on the lookout for the latest trends? From your local bubble tea joint to off-the-beaten-path brewery tours, Green from Amex can help you discover more. With 3x points on restaurants and travel, including transit like taxis, ride shares, ferry rides, and subway swipes, it's built around your lifestyle, so you can keep doing you with an extra boost of confidence. Learn more at americanexpress.com/greenfromamex. Terms apply.
Support also comes from The RealReal, the leading reseller for authenticated luxury consignment. Consign men's and women's luxury fashion, fine jewelry, watches, art, and home. The RealReal offers free white glove service, in-store drop-off, or from-home shipping. Think sustainably. Consign with The RealReal today and earn up to 85% commission. This month, receive site credit when you consign 10 or more items. Authentic, sustainable luxury. Only at TheRealReal.com.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Happy Hour. It's time for our favorite segment of this week and every week, What's Making Us Happy This Week. Glenn Weldon, what is making you happy this week?
I mentioned the Netflix series Eastsiders before. It's about a group of queer or queer-adjacent friends in L.A. It's finally dropped its fourth and final season, and what I like about it is that the relationships among the characters have grown deeper, more complicated, more rich. The gay couple at its center, played by Van Hansis and the show creator Kit Williamson, have gone through a lot over these four seasons. And this final season does exactly what it needs to do, which this film we were just talking about didn't. It just feels surprising but inevitable, a real culmination, a real satisfying ending to this story. So that's Eastsiders on Netflix.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Stephen Thompson, what is making you happy this week, Betty?
Over the last couple weeks, NPR Music has been rolling out its gigantic Year in Music 2019 omnibus, which we managed to make as much work as is humanly possible, publishing not only a list of the 25 best albums of the year and the 25 best songs of the year, but also several dozen other lists, weird angles and essays, and trying to look at the year from as many different angles as possible. You can get lost in this thing for hours, and that's before you even start clicking on links and discovering new music. I think 2019 has been an absolutely tremendous year for new music. Not only like big pop discoveries, but just in virtually every genre, I think there's been amazing music. It's such a great time now that we're at the end of the year to get lost in all those discoveries. Before we start fresh in 2020, you can find all of that at npr.org/music.
Thank you very much, Stephen Thompson. Mallory Yu, what's making you happy this week?
So what's making me happy this week is like a little piece of weird internet culture. Several years ago, Folger debuted a Christmas commercial. that infamous Folger commercial where a brother comes home from West Africa and surprises his sister on Christmas. And there is a lot of weird emotion that passes between them.
There's a vibe.
There are some strange vibes. GQ this week published an oral history of that commercial where the writer Gabriela Paella talked to the people involved, from the ad agency in charge of that commercial to the director of the spot to even the cameraman, who has some truly wild and colorful comments, let's say. My absolutely favorite thing about this article is that Paella interviews fanfic writers, and I always love when fanfic writers get to talk about why they like to write fanfic. The article is called "You're My Present This Year: An Oral History of the Folgers Incest Ad," and you can read it on GQ. It's So great.
Thank you very much, Mallory Yu. What is making me happy this week? Slow Burn is a podcast that has had several seasons on Slate, investigating various events in history. The current season, hosted by Joel Anderson, has been about the murders of Tupac Shakur and Biggie Smalls. You know, I was paying attention to pop culture at this point of these, you know, these happened in the mid to late 90s. And, you know, I certainly was aware of popular music and paying attention to things, but this was not an area in which I had any deep knowledge. And for me, as somebody who knew the basics of the figures involved, but not a ton about details, it's been extremely riveting, I think, just as a story. You know, they spend a lot of time kind of talking about what the atmosphere was like and what was going on in rap at that time and, you know, what the public kind of backlash against certain rappers and kinds of rap was. It just concluded, the final episode dropped as we taped this today, and I think Joel's a very good host. I reached out to him at one point and said, I even like your ad reads. he's just an exceptional host, I think, and a very good storyteller. They've done a great job putting this together because it's an extraordinarily complicated story with a lot of different characters. You have to kind of decide where you're going to go in terms of, are you going to present theories about what happened and who killed these two men, or are you not going to? I think they find a good solution to that. I was super impressed by it. Again, it's Slow Burn, and you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. Comes out of Slate. So congratulations to them on, I think, a stupendously good season. And that is what is making me happy this week. And that brings us to the end of our show. You can find all of us on Twitter. You can find me at Linda Holmes. You can find Steven at I Dislike Steven. You can find Glenn at G.H. Weldon and Mallory at Mallory_U. You can find our producer, Jessica Reedy, at Jessica_Reedy. Our other producer, Emmanuel Johnson, at Emmanuel_Speaks. Our producer emeritus and music director is Mike Katziff at Mike Katziff, K-A-T-Z-I-F. Mike's band, Hello Come In, provides the music you are bobbing your head to right now or waving your lightsaber to. Thanks to all of you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second and you're so inclined, support your local station at donate.npr.org/happy. That will help us make the show and also help us beat all the other podcasts. There are prizes this year. It's important.
It's vital.
That you help us win prizes. No, I'm just kidding. It's important that you help your local station and help us make the show. And we will see you all right back here next week.
The chatbot on Sheila's phone is supposed to ask her questions. But when she starts asking it questions, it sends her poetry.
Secret dwelling place. Mysteries held in the dirt. Time has other plans.
What happens when you treat artificial intelligence with love? On the new episode of Invisibilia from NPR.